Before we jump into today's episode, I want to know, are you feeling constantly tired, stressed, or stuck in survival mode, even though you're doing all the right things? My best-selling book, Optimal You, Supercharge Your Energy, Strengthen Your Immunity, was written for people just like you. It's a guide for those of us living in the modern chaotic world who want to optimize your health, prevent burnout, and take back control of your energy and well-being. I'm so proud to share that Optimal You is an Amazon number one bestseller and has been shortlisted at the Business Book Awards in the wellness and well-being category, recognized for its science-backed, practical, and truly holistic approach to long-term health. Inside the book, I share the exact framework I use in clinic, from the 8 core pillars of health to the 4 essential lifestyle S's. Whether you're struggling with niggling symptoms, feeling low in energy, getting sick more often, struggling with autoimmunity, or you simply want to feel like yourself again, this book will meet you where you are. Available now in hardback, paperback, and on Kindle, just search Optimal You by Nicole Good on Amazon or visit optimalyoubook.com for all the links. Because your health shouldn't be on hold and the optimal version of you is waiting.
Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritionist, and author. In this podcast, we delve into the world of energy and immune health and wellness with positivity, from optimal health and energy to stress and burnout, right through to immune conditions such as thyroid and autoimmune disease. We deep dive into functional medicine, nutritional medicine, and lifestyle medicine, as well as the personal stories of our amazing guests, from Olympians to famous faces, and guest experts from all different parts of the health and wellness world. It's time to stop letting your health hold you back and become the optimal version of you. Don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit the website nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more.
You've had all the blood tests, your thyroid is within range, your iron levels are fine, your GP says everything looks normal, and yet you still feel tired. Not just end of a long day tired, but deeply systemically tired. Your brain feels foggy, your body aches, your motivation is gone, you feel inflamed, drained, and just off. But no one seems to know why. Maybe your autoimmunity is constantly triggered and flaring up. If this sounds familiar, it's possible that something deeper is at play. Something that doesn't always show up in standard blood work. Something that millions of people carry, often unknowingly. And this is the Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV. EBV is one of the most common viruses in the world. It's part of the herpes virus family. And for most people, it's something that they picked up in childhood or adolescence. You might know it as glandular fever or mono. But what many people don't realize is that EBV never fully actually leaves the body. It stays dormant, often for life. The issue isn't just the initial infection. It's what happens when EBV reactivates, usually during times of chronic stress, burnout, hormonal change, or immune suppression. And when it does, it can trigger a whole host of symptoms that mimic other conditions. Symptoms like fatigue, brain fog, anxiety, joint pain, thyroid dysfunction, to name a few. In today's episode, I want to unpack what Epstein-Barr virus really is, why it's so often missed or misunderstood, and how it could be playing a role in that persistent fatigue or immune challenges that you're facing, particularly in those of you dealing with thyroid or autoimmune issues, but also in those of you experiencing burnout and chronic fatigue. If you've ever felt like you've tried everything and still don't feel like yourself, this episode may just be the missing piece. We're going to look at what a functional medicine approach to EBV reactivation looks like, from testing and nutrition to immune modulation, pacing, and restoring energy at the root. So let's dive straight in. Let's start at the beginning. What exactly is Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV? EBV is a member of the herpes virus family. It's technically known as human herpes virus 4, or HHV4. Like other herpes viruses, it has a particular talent, and that is that it can stay in the body for life. Most people first encounter EBV in childhood or adolescence. In fact, you might have had it already and not even known. Perhaps it was just a vague viral illness or a sore throat that passed in a few days. But in some cases, especially when first contracted in the teen years or early adulthood, EBV can cause a condition that's sometimes known as infectious mononucleosis, or more commonly, glandular fever. If you've had it, you'll probably remember severe fatigue, swollen glands, sore throats, fevers, sometimes an enlarged spleen or liver. It can knock people out for weeks or even months, and it's often associated with a long, slow recovery. Now, here's where it gets interesting. After the initial infection resolves, EBV doesn't leave the body. Instead, it enters a dormant phase, so it hides out in your nerve cells, lymph nodes, and immune tissues, especially B cells, which are a type of white blood cell. This dormant state is known as latent EBV, and by adulthood, around 90 to 95% of people carry the virus latently. For most people, it stays in the background. It's kept in check by a healthy immune system. But under certain conditions, like chronic stress, burnout, sleep deprivation, inflammation, hormonal shifts, or a weakened immune system, EBV can reactivate. And that's when the trouble begins. The challenge is that reactivation symptoms are nonspecific. They don't always look like a classic virus. They often look like thyroid issues or burnout or autoimmune disease. And that's why it's so often missed. Now that you know what Epstein-Barr virus is, let's talk about the two different states it can exist in a little bit more. So the latent EBV and reactivated EBV. Let's start with latent. So after the initial infection, whether it was a full-blown case of glandular fever or something mild that you barely noticed, EBV goes into this latent or dormant state, hiding out within your body, particularly in those B cells of the immune system. And in this phase, the virus is mostly inactive. It's not replicating, it's not spreading, it's not causing symptoms. In fact, unless something triggers it, you may live with it your entire life, have that latent EBV, and never know it's actually there. And this is the case for the vast majority of people. You know, remember, 90 to 95% of adults are carrying EBV as the latent virus. But sometimes we get reactivated EBV. So under certain conditions, the chronic stress, burnout, viral bacterial infections, poor sleep, hormonal changes, immune suppression, that EBV is going to reactivate or can reactivate. When this happens, the virus becomes active again. Now, it may not cause the same sore throat and fever that you had with the glandular fever, but it can create a whole new set of vague, very frustrating, and very persistent symptoms. And here's where things get tricky. The symptoms it causes are very nonspecific, so they overlap with dozens of other conditions. And this is why EBV is so often overlooked. Common symptoms of reactivated EBV include things like profound fatigue, so not just tired, but feeling really depleted, that kind of fatigue that doesn't really improve with rest. But burnout causes this, so does stress. Brain fog as well, so trouble concentrating, slow thinking, memory lapses, again, can be put down to age, hormonal problems, stress, lack of sleep, busy lifestyles, so many places that we can see brain fog coming from. Some people may get swollen lymph glands, so often in the neck, and especially during a flare-up. Not everybody will experience that, but some people can. You may have low mood or anxiety, and that's due to its impact on inflammation and the neurotransmitters. But again, we can put anxiety down to a lot of things. We can put low mood down to a lot of things. You may have muscle or joint aches. Sometimes this can resemble things like fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, or just feeling a bit achy and stiff as we age. You can also have low resilience to stress or illness. So you may find that you get sick more easily or take a long time to recover from minor illnesses. But again, we put that down to a lot of things, being busy, being stressed. Some people describe it as feeling like they've got flu all the time without ever actually getting fully sick. Others feel like their body just isn't keeping up anymore, physically, mentally, or emotionally with their pace of life. And you may get all of these symptoms, or you may just get one or two of them. But if any of that sounds familiar, you're not alone and you're not making it up. Now let's talk about why Epstein-Barr virus matters and why it's more than just an old infection from your teenage years. We now have a growing body of research that has linked chronic or reactivated EBV to autoimmune conditions. So things like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, multiple sclerosis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, ME, and chronic fatigue syndrome. It's also been linked to certain cancers. And this is where EBV shifts from just being a passenger in the body to a potential driver of immune dysfunction. And again, cancers and autoimmune diseases are all to do with immune dysfunction. So let's look at the science behind this. One of the key mechanisms that is thought to be at play here is something called molecular mimicry. Here's how it works. When the immune system is fighting EBV, it creates antibodies to attack the virus. But parts of the virus, so its proteins in particular, look very similar to your own tissue proteins. So in its attempt to fight the infection, the immune system can get confused and start to mistakenly attack your own cells because these protein strands are similar. In the case of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, for example, certain viral proteins may resemble parts of the thyroid gland. That confusion leads to the production of the thyroid antibodies, particularly anti-TPO and anti-TG, and over time, the thyroid will become inflamed and less effective at producing hormones. So molecular mimicry is a really important mechanism to do with EBV, but also a really important mechanism behind autoimmune disease. So it's really important to understand that EBV doesn't necessarily cause autoimmune disease on its own. This is really important. We have to remember 90 to 95% of people have this virus in their body and it doesn't cause any problems. The difficulty is when it reactivates, then it can act like a trigger, especially in someone who's got underlying risk factors. So things like already having an autoimmune disease, a genetic predisposition, gut dysbiosis, nutrient deficiencies, long-term stress or burnout, or a history of viral infections, trauma, or hormonal shifts. These things all get together and cause a perfect storm of conditions that lower the immune resilience and give the latent EBV the opportunity to become reactivated EBV and therefore cause dysregulation in the immune system. So the thyroid is actually particularly vulnerable for several reasons. One, it's a highly vascular gland, so meaning that immune cells and antibodies circulate through it regularly. It's also very sensitive to both inflammation and hormonal shifts. And interestingly, EBV has been shown in some studies to persist in thyroid tissue, meaning it may be silently contributing to that ongoing inflammation. So if you've been diagnosed with Hashimoto's but feel your symptoms aren't improving, or if you've been told your thyroid is borderline but you're struggling with fatigue and brain fog and mood issues, it could be worth exploring whether EBV reactivation is part of your picture. While the thyroid is a common target, EBV's impact on the immune system also goes further. One of the most compelling areas of research is its link to multiple sclerosis. This is a chronic autoimmune condition that affects the central nervous system. In fact, in one landmark study in 2022, it was offered as the most definitive piece of evidence to date that EBV infection is a potentially a necessary precursor to developing MS, but certainly a precursor. And this was a massive study which followed millions of people over around 20 years. And what they found was that individuals who were EBV negative at baseline had very low risk of developing MS. Once infected with EBV, their risk increased 32-fold. And importantly, no other viruses that were studied showed that same association. So 32 times increase in a person who's been infected with EBV. And researchers found that EBV infection preceded the development of MS usually by several years. And they noted that EBV appears to trigger the immune system to start producing antibodies that cross-react with myelin, which is the protective coating around nerve cells. And this is another example of that molecular mimicry. So this is where the immune system, in its attempt to target the virus, is mistakenly targeting your own tissue. And EBV is part of my own health history. So this is an area of research that I am really interested in, because that's how my autoimmune issue started, EBV several years before the autoimmune developed. In the case of MS, this leads to damage in the brain and the spinal cord and can result in symptoms like numbness and tingling, muscle weakness, visual changes, fatigue, brain fog, difficulty with coordination or mobility. And again, you don't have to have all these symptoms. A lot of times we look at people with MS and we assume that they're going to be in a wheelchair or unable to walk. You know, on this podcast, the very first episode of this podcast that we did was actually with the Olympian Lena Nielsen, who has MS and she's an Olympian. So we really need to change the picture of what people with MS look like. And we'll link that episode with Lena in the show notes below this episode today. So while the thyroid is a frequent and well-known target of EBV, the virus's reach extends far beyond, and actually more and more research is showing us that it can interact with your immune system in ways that really set the stage for more serious autoimmune or neurological conditions, often years after that initial infection. And this is why in functional medicine, we don't just look at whether EBV is present. We look at whether it is active, and this is a different type of test. We look at how it's affecting your immune regulation and how to support your body's ability to keep it in check. So how do we actually test for EBV? This is one of the most common questions that I get asked, and understandably so. Many patients will come to me having been told that they have tested positive for EBV at some point, but they've never been given a clear explanation of what that really means. It may be that they know they had EBV many, many years ago. So let's break it down. The EBV panel, this is a blood test, and it looks at different types of antibodies your body has produced in response to the virus. So we might look at VCA-IgM, which indicates a current or very recent infection. We might look at VCA-IgG, which indicates past exposure. Nearly everybody will test positive on this one by adulthood, because like we said, 90 to 95% of people will have that. We look at EBNA-IgG, so this is Epstein-Barr nuclear antigen. This shows up later, so usually a few months after infection, and indicates long-term or past infection. And then we have early antigen, IgG, so EAD-IgG, sometimes referred to. And this is really one of the most important markers when we're investigating possible reactivation, because elevated levels may suggest that the virus is no longer dormant. But these markers need to be read together, and it's really important that they are read correctly. And this is the challenge, is the interpretation. So this is where it gets a bit tricky. Most standard medical approaches only flag a current infection. So if your IgM is negative, you'll be told that there's nothing to worry about. But in functional medicine, we're also looking at these patterns. So not just whether you've ever had EBV, we know most people have had EBV. So that's not particularly important information. It's not very helpful. 90 to 95% of people are going to have had it. What we want to know is your immune system showing signs of ongoing activation or reactivation? This is much more important information. So if your VCA IgG or EBNA IgG are positive, but your early antigen is also elevated and you're experiencing some of those symptoms, so you've got things like persistent fatigue or inflammation, that may suggest viral reactivation. So the VCA IgG and the EBNA IgG being positive, that's normal. But if your early antigen is also elevated, that's what we're looking at. Even if your IgM is negative, so this is the one that generally standard medical approaches are looking at, is the IgM. Even if that is negative, we may be looking at viral reactivation. And this is where many people fall through the cracks because their test isn't technically abnormal. That VCA IgG and EBNA IgG are normal. They're the normal range. They're absolutely as they should be. But their immune system is struggling to keep that EBV under control. So when is it worth testing? You might want to consider EBV testing if you've had chronic fatigue that hasn't responded to other interventions. You've had glandular fever in the past, but feel like you've never quite recovered. So maybe every time you get a cold, your glands go up a little bit, or you always get a bit of a sore throat whenever you pick up a virus. You may want to look at it if you're managing something like Hashimoto's or MS or another autoimmune condition, and you feel stuck, you feel like you're not improving, you're finding it difficult, even though you're doing all the things, or you've experienced a relapse in symptoms. So maybe after a period of stress or illness or hormonal change, those symptoms that you're experiencing have just got worse. Or if you've been told that actually your thyroid, your iron, your cortisol levels, everything is fine, but actually you still feel awful. That's another reason why we may want to look at this. And in clinic, I often combine EBV testing maybe with a broader functional panel. So we might look at nutrient status, adrenal function, inflammation. We may look at gut health to get a really clear picture of what is going on and why the immune system is under pressure. And remember, the goal here isn't to panic over EBV. 90 to 95% of people have it. It's to understand your body's relationship with it and how to gently bring the system back to balance, and to find out whether this is one of the root causes for you of the symptoms you're experiencing. So now that we've covered what EBV is and how to test for it, let's explore one of the most important and empowering questions. What causes EBV to reactivate in the first place? So the short answer to this is when your immune system becomes overwhelmed or under-resourced, EBV sees an opportunity. It's not just about catching a virus. It's about that internal environment that allows it to wake up and to start causing trouble again. So it's opportunistic. Let's take some of the most common triggers that I see in clinic. So first, chronic stress. So that HPA axis dysfunction or adrenal fatigue. When you're under sustained stress, whether it's physical, emotional, or even from overtraining, your cortisol rhythm becomes dysregulated. And cortisol plays a huge role in immune regulation. So when it's too high for too long or it eventually bottoms out, the immune system loses its balance. And that's when latent viruses like EBV can reactivate. And I often see this in women who are running on adrenaline, coping with burnout, or have just gone through something emotionally intense. So something like a divorce or grief or launching a business or just simply years of pushing through. I say women because we see more autoimmune in women than we do in men, but that's not to say that this doesn't happen in men. And burnout, of course, happens in men equally, especially those when they're in high-powered jobs or they're going through things like divorces and grief and things like that as well. Then we have nutrient depletion. So your immune system depends on key nutrients to keep viral activity in check. And some of the most common deficiencies that I see in reactivated EBV cases are things like zinc, selenium, magnesium, B6, B12, vitamin D, and vitamin C. So whether due to poor absorption, chronic stress, overexertion, sometimes restrictive dieting as well. If these are low, these nutrients are low, your antiviral defenses are lowered as well. And then we have that poor sleep and circadian disruption. So sleep is when your immune system resets. It's when natural killer cells are most active. They're the cells that are responsible for controlling viruses like EBV. So if you're staying up late, you're waking through the night, you're working shift patterns, your immune rhythm is going to get disrupted. Even if it's just a week of poor sleep, that can be enough to reduce immune surveillance and create the conditions for viral reactivation. Then we have gut dysfunction. So your gut isn't just about digestion. It's a key immune organ. Roughly 70% of your immune system lives in the gut. So when you have something like dysbiosis, that imbalance of bacteria in the microbiome, or you have intestinal permeability, that leaky gut, or just chronic low-grade inflammation, your immune system becomes overactive in some areas and under-responsive in others. And this weakens your defense against the latent viruses. And that contributes to chronic immune activation. And that's that perfect storm for EBV to thrive. Then we have things like toxin exposures and co-infections. In more complex cases, EBV may be reactivated alongside other environmental or infectious stressors. The most common one I see is mold exposure. So I see a lot of mold exposure in clinic, even in people who have no idea that they have been exposed to mold. Another one is Lyme disease as well. Really common for reactivated EBV when we've got Lyme disease or other co-infections going on. Heavy metals as well, or chronic chemical exposures. So these add an additional layer of immune burden. And if your detoxification pathways, so your liver or your mitochondria, are under pressure and are not supported properly, then the body just simply can't cope. So the takeaway here is EBV doesn't reactivate randomly. It responds to the terrain, your internal environment. It responds to your body. And that's what functional medicine is all about. It's about changing the terrain so that your immune system is resilient again. And immune resilience is something that I am really passionate about and talk very heavily about in my book, Optimal You. And we'll put a link to the book in the show notes below this episode. So what do we actually do when we suspect that Epstein-Barr virus is playing a role? So the good news is you don't have to go to war with the virus. In functional medicine, it's not about trying to kill off the virus, kill off EBV with antivirals. We may use some antivirals, but that's not the most important part. What we really want to focus on is modulating that immune system, nourishing your terrain, supporting the body's natural ability to keep the virus in check. Because when your immune system is calm, is nourished, and is resilient, the EBV will go quiet again. So here's how we approach it. We want immune modulation, not suppression. So EBV reactivation is a sign of that immune dysregulation, not just a viral problem. So our goal is to rebalance the immune system. Rather than ramp it up or shutting it down, we want balance. We use natural compounds and nutrients to help regulate the immune response gently. This might be things like we may use the medicinal mushrooms, sort of reishi or cordyceps, which help support that immune balance and energy. We may use something like an ashwagandha, which is helping with resilience and repair and cortisol modulation. We may look at lemon balm and licorice root, which have very gentle antiviral and adrenal supportive properties. Really important though to note, some of these supplements shouldn't be taken with certain autoimmune conditions. So an EBV we know is a trigger for those autoimmune diseases. So if you have one of those conditions, if you have sort of an autoimmune condition, especially thyroid, then it's definitely better to check with a practitioner before you just start taking any of these supplements. Then the next thing we have to do is look at nutrient repletion. Instead of nutrient depletion, which we see a lot, we want nutrient repletion. We want to start building these nutrients up in the body so we can assess and correct key deficiencies that weaken the immune resilience and the mitochondrial function. So things like zinc is very antiviral and immune supportive. Vitamin C is going to support lymphocyte activity and viral control. Vitamin D helps to modulate inflammation and autoimmunity. Selenium is important in the thyroid and in the immune function. B vitamins, really important for that energy production and methylation and nervous system repair. And then magnesium, really helpful for helping to calm down the HPA axis and reduce viral replication. And these will often be tailored in dosages based on testing, especially in patients with chronic fatigue, autoimmunity, or ongoing burnout. Step three, we need to support the mitochondria. So reactivated EBV often shows up with mitochondrial dysfunction. Think low ATP, so this is our energy molecule in the body, low recovery, post-exertional crashes. All of these things are going to indicate that we need to support the mitochondria. This might include things like coenzyme Q10, acetyl-L-carnitine, PQQ, NAC, glutathione. They're really good for reducing oxidative stress. Glutathione is our master antioxidant. Or anti-inflammatory nutrition to help to reduce cellular damage. And this is going to really help to rebuild energy sustainably without overstimulating the system. But again, check with a practitioner before taking any of these supplements. So step four, we want to regulate the nervous system. So pacing is really essential. You don't want to push yourself way out of your limits if you've got EBV-related fatigue. So I work with patients to help build nervous system resilience. We use things like breath work through vagus nerve stimulation. So I love the Sensate device. We'll link that below this episode as well in the show notes. And just 10 minutes a day of that vagus nerve stimulation with something like a Sensate is really, really good for building resilience. And then practice true rest as well. So not just sleep, but deep parasympathetic recovery. And this is something we're not very good at anymore. Even when we're doing something where we are resting or we are relaxing, our phone is usually pinging, or we're answering a message, or we're listening to something, or we're watching something. Practice true rest. Actually just sit and read, or just sit outside in nature. Do something where you really do just switch off. We also want to avoid boom and bust cycles, so they can drain energy further. So we might use tools like guided meditation, somatic work, or even just structured downtime to really help the immune system to switch from that fight or flight into a repair state. And then the next step we need to look at, or another step we need to look at, is to reduce that total body burden. Is there any gut dysbiosis? Are the detox pathways sluggish, or is the liver well supported? Is there any ongoing exposure to things like mold, toxins, or allergens? Is the circadian rhythm supported? And you don't have to fix all of these things at once, but we need to reduce the noise. So take things step by step. And as we lower each one, we're making it much easier for the immune system to then do its own job. So the focus really is to strengthen the host, to strengthen the patient. That's the key focus, not antiviral work. That might be one little part of it, but actually strengthening your body, that's going to be the key. So rather than chasing the virus, we're asking, what does this person specifically, individually need to nourish their body and find balance in their body again? And that's where the real healing begins. So how do you know if EBV might be your missing piece? So the truth is, EBV reactivation can look like a lot of things. And because its symptoms are nonspecific, so things like fatigue, brain fog, mood changes, it's often misdiagnosed or simply dismissed altogether. But there are some classic patterns that I see in clinic, or I like to call them sort of red flags, that point us in the right direction. So if we see these things, it's a red flag that we need to maybe have a look at EBV. Here's some of those red flags where I would start to sort of suspect EBV as a contributing factor. And it may not be the only factor, but it may be one of the factors, one of the underlying causes. So the first one is if a person has ever had glandular fever or mono in the past and never really fully bounced back. Maybe they recovered enough to get through the day, but never quite felt the same since. That's a really common story. A teenager or early adulthood infection that lingers under the surface and then will reawaken each time somebody is stressed or somebody gets a virus. Another one is somebody who is doing all the right things, but still feeling exhausted. So they've changed their diet, they're taking all the supplements, maybe even been on thyroid medication, but fatigue and brain fog and inflammation just aren't shifting. If everything looks good on paper, but the person is still not feeling well, then EBV is worth considering. Another one is if you've been told that your thyroid is fine, but they've got symptoms of hypothyroidism. So if lab work for the thyroid is fine, but they're experiencing things like hair loss, cold hands and feet, constipation, low mood, fatigue. This is where EBV often intersects with the thyroid. So it may not be a primary thyroid problem. It may be a virus-triggered immune issue. And then if somebody's experiencing autoimmune symptoms or flare-ups, so if they've, whether they've been diagnosed with something like a Hashimoto's or an MS or a lupus, or we're just seeing unexplained inflammation in the labs, then we can look at EBV as whether that is a contributing factor to that immune dysregulation behind the scenes. Also, if fatigue is flaring up after stress, after illness, or after hormonal changes. So this is a big one. EBV often reactivates after a period of extreme stress or burnout, after a viral or bacterial infection, after pregnancy or postpartum, or in perimenopause or menopause. So if you notice your symptoms spiking after one of those, then it may be worth investigating. And this is where taking a health history is really important. And this is something that we do in functional medicine that works really well, is pulling out the patterns of when people started to notice spikes. So if you work with a functional medicine practitioner, and I do this, I send out a questionnaire for my patients to answer before they work with me, before we start working together. I can't speak for all practitioners, but in the most part, these are quite detailed. They will send out a relatively detailed, quite long health intake form. The best thing you can do is answer this. And I know it's a bit boring because you don't want to be going through loads of paper and answering loads of questions. But the best thing that you can do is answer that with as much detail as you can. The more detail you give us, the more we can pick up on these patterns and find things and know what to try and test for, what to try and find, what the root cause might be. So really important to put that into the picture and to do that. But ultimately, EBV is not the only cause of these symptoms. It can be in some cases, but in other cases, in many cases, it's part of a bigger picture. So if you feel like your body just isn't recovering the way that it used to, particularly if you've been dismissed or told that it's just in your head or told that everything is fine, then the EBV conversation is one that is definitely worth having. To wrap up, EBV virus is incredibly common. We don't want to scare people with this. Most people have it. But reactivation, chronic fatigue, and immune dysfunction are not things that you want to live with. So if you're dealing with lingering symptoms, things like brain fog, exhaustion, inflammation, or low resilience, and no one's able to actually tell you why, it might be time to take a deeper look. And this is where functional medicine really shines. It gives you the tools to understand your body's patterns, to identify triggers, and to support recovery in a way that's sustainable, personalized, and rooted in science. If today's episode resonated with you, here's a few ways that you can go further. You can start with my book, Optimal You, especially the chapters on immune health, adrenal health, and the thyroid. It's really designed to help you connect the dots, to find those interconnections between the different parts of the body, and to take action. There is a plan in there for you to take action on all these steps. The plan in Optimal You is an immune balancing plan. Or you might want to join our thyroid or fatigue program. This is designed to help support you with energy, with clarity, and with immune recovery. And if you want to test for EBV reactivation or you want to work with me one-on-one, you can book a consultation or you can book an EBV panel through the link in the show notes. Finally, if you know somebody who's been struggling with unexplained fatigue, with autoimmunity, or just with that frustrating case of everything is normal, which is what happened to me for many, many years, I was told everything was fine, even though I didn't feel it, please share this episode with them. It might just be that key piece of information that is missing from their puzzle. Thanks very much for listening. I'll see you next time on the Good Health Podcast.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app or sign up to my newsletter for my favorite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.